Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, you may have noticed this, but we could call this week Perseverance Week. That's because we've been talking about perseverance all week long. And we're going to wrap up this concept today in another great episode of Grace in Focus. Now, we're currently in a series that is taking a look at a current debate that's going on called the King Jesus Debate. If you haven't heard about that, that's okay. You can go to faithalone.org and take a listen to our previous episodes in this series. Okay, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin. And we're going over an article by Dr. John Piper. The title of the article is The Necessity of Perseverance in Faith and the Assurance of Salvation. You can find it at desiringgod.org. And what Piper is doing is representing a popular view, especially among Calvinists. Although it's getting more controversial, people are calling Piper out for explicitly teaching that you need good works for this thing he's calling final salvation. And he's not making up that term, final salvation. Lots of other Christians use that term, but they all have in common this idea that salvation is just not secure until, you know, sometime in the future, and it's only secure based on how you behave.
Right.
And one of the conditions that he explicitly makes in that article for eternal salvation is, he says, you need an obedient lifestyle which springs from faith is necessary for final salvation. So Piper is teaching that an obedient lifestyle is necessary for final salvation. That is salvation by works.
I find it startling to see a statement like this from John Piper. I like him. I've heard him speak before. He's really a nice guy. He's a good speaker. And for the most part, he doesn't stumble on points like this, but he sure did there.
Right. Even fellow Calvinists and fellow what we would call Lordship Salvation guys are like, whoa, that's a little too explicit there.
Right.
So we covered the first 4 points of that article in the last episode. Let's go over points 5, 6, and 7.
And 8.
All right. So point 5 says this. Should we entertain the possibility that we might be those who fall away? The answer is yes, if we're persisting in attitudes, actions that spring from unbelief. Okay, here's my question. So one of the things that we've been saying is Christians can, born-again people can fall away, but we would say you're still eternally secure.
Right.
If you do that, what you jeopardize are, well, your happiness in this life, eternal rewards in the next life.
Right.
But you cannot lose your salvation, and you definitely do not prove that you were never saved to begin with.
Right. But notice in the previous point, in Scripture, we are told of people who appear to be Christians and yet fall away. John says their falling away proves they were never Christians in the first place. So when you come to 5,
right,
should we entertain the possibility that we might be those who fall away? He's saying, should we entertain the possibility that we were never Christians in the first place?
Right.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, he says yes. You should definitely wonder if you're really born again at all.
If we are persisting in attitudes or actions that spring from unbelief. Well, what are attitudes or actions that spring from unbelief? Well, those would be any attitudes or actions going back to the second point. That, how was the second point worded?
You need an obedient lifestyle, but you don't need to be perfect.
Right. So basically, you should entertain the possibility you might not be a real Christian if you're not obedient enough.
Right.
Well, how much is enough? And he goes on to say the Apostle Paul. Now, to me, this is an amazing misstep. The Apostle Paul entertained the possibility that he might be disqualified if he was not careful how he ran the race. 1 Corinthians 9:27.
Well, see, now this doesn't surprise me because Piper is not a dispensationalist. I don't know if he believes in the doctrine of rewards. I don't know if he believes in the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know if he believes in a literal millennial kingdom. So when we read about Paul being qualified and disqualified and running the race, we have a certain vision of the end times in mind.
Right.
And we know that Christians are going to appear before something called the judgment seat of Christ to be evaluated by their actions so that they can be given eternal rewards or not.
Right.
But if you don't know about that doctrine, then you're going to think that running the race has to do with, I guess, salvation.
Right. And what is he saying that the Apostle Paul thought might happen?
That he might be disqualified.
And what does he understand that to mean?
You're not saved at all.
Apostle Paul thought he might go to hell.
Right.
And by the way, I read a thesis at Dallas Seminary on 1 Corinthians 9:27, in which the student who was a Calvinist said, I know that the Apostle Paul was sure of his salvation from other texts, but 1 Corinthians 9:27 clearly says that Paul wasn't sure he was going to persevere and that he might be disqualified. Actually, the word means disapproved or unapproved, but he said disqualified. So I have to come to the conclusion that in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul was doubting whether he was born again. He wasn't sure he was born again. And I read this thesis and I thought, it's amazing to me that someone at Dallas Seminary could get a thesis like this through his committee. But he did. And it's amazing to me that Piper would write this, that he thinks Paul wasn't sure. And he goes on to say, and he commanded the arrogant Corinthians to entertain the idea that they might be those who fall away.
Now, to be clear, so what we would counter is, what Paul wasn't sure about was how he would be rewarded.
Right. And the same thing with the Corinthians, how they would be rewarded.
But he knew he was justified. He knew he had eternal life.
But if Piper's point is that Paul was concerned he might fall away, if he was warning the Corinthians they might fall away, right. But falling away doesn't go back to what he said in 4 and 5, that they proved they were never Christians in the first place. Falling away means they fell away. They may or may not come back, but they're eternally secure whether they fall away or not.
I mean, this really all comes down to the doctrine of eternal rewards. And this really is what makes the free grace position, which is the position we hold, so much different from other types of evangelical theologies. We can read these verses in context, and I think more accurately than the other theologies. We're almost like we're reading at a different level. They're flattening every verse so that it has to do with eternal salvation. And we're saying, no, you got to rightly divide here. There are some verses about eternal salvation, like John 3:16, but then there are other verses that are about eternal rewards. And if anyone's interested, you can read about eternal rewards in Bob's book, The Road to Reward. That'd be one example.
Right. And the other thing related to this is, while Dr. Piper believes in eternal security, he believes in eternal security for those who persevere.
Right.
And the way you know you're one of the eternally secure people is because you're seeing a life of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
But since you can't be sure you will persevere, you can't be sure you're eternally secure.
Right.
This is also brought out in 6, 7, and 8.
All right. So point 6 says, we are commanded to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. And again, because Piper, because of his eschatology, is flattening everything, this examination for him is whether or not you're born again at all.
Right, and that's a big mistake. We have shows on 2 Corinthians 13:5-7, and you can look through our podcasts, and we also have articles on this. But basically, 2 Corinthians 13:5-7 emphasizes being approved, dokimos, or disapproved, adokimos.
Mm-hmm.
It's all through 2 Corinthians 13:5, 6, and 7. And the issue is not whether you're in the faith in your position, it's whether you're walking in the faith in your experience.
Mm.
Believers may or may not be walking in the faith.
And you should examine yourself.
Right.
You should ask yourself, okay, am I really consistent in my behavior with what I believe?
But not to see if I'm born again, to see if I'm in a position of Christ's approval. Almost all commentators point out it starts out with yourselves examined, because 2 Corinthians 13:1-4 deal with them looking at Paul and saying, some of the people in the church of Corinth were saying, we don't think he speaks for God.
Paul had a lot of opposition.
And so he's saying, look at yourself. Mm. See if you are abiding in the faith in your experience. Are you speaking for God? So point 6 is not an accurate understanding.
Point 7, we are expected to enjoy and commanded to experience the assurance of salvation. Now, this is kind of nutty.
This is one we'll say yes, but everything
yes.
he said thus far makes that impossible.
Yeah, it's nutty because the way he has set it up, there's just no way someone who believes in Piper's theology can know, have assurance of their salvation.
Right.
Because for him, again, the first point is to have final salvation, you have to continue in the faith. Well, how do you know you're going to do that tomorrow or next week or next year? Then the second thing is, in order to have final salvation, you have to have this obedient lifestyle, just short of perfection.
Right.
Well, even if you think that you're doing okay now, how do you know you're going to do well enough to be saved next month or next year, next decade, or the next 4 decades of your life? You can't know that.
Right. And by the way, he cites 1 John 5:13, these things I've written, you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He cites that, but he thinks that refers to the whole book of 1 John. It doesn't. It looks at 5:9-13, which is believing the testimony of God. And so the way we have assurance is because we believe the testimony of God, and the way we continue to know we have eternal life is continuing to believe the testimony of God concerning right. Christ. And so his view doesn't allow for assurance.
And now point 8, the biblical teaching of the assurance of salvation must be seen in the context of God's terrible threats to those who fall into persistent unbelief, in the context of God's glorious promises to those who trust him. The way in which we persevere in faith and thereby maintain assurance of salvation is by taking seriously the glorious promises and the terrible threats found in Scripture.
Notice terrible threats he mentions twice.
Yeah, so this is very important to him. So assurance comes in part from looking at these terrible threats. And I guess he thinks these terrible, like, he thinks the threats are you can lose your salvation. I mean, what does he think the threats
are?
Well,
no, I think he would say you prove you weren't a Christian in the first place.
To begin with,
right?
Yeah.
But the point is you must persevere to the end to get quote-unquote final salvation.
Right.
Point two. So the point of what he's saying is you should go through your life worried about these terrible threats, therefore how can you have assurance?
Yeah.
It all works against itself, and I strongly encourage each one of you today to go and look at this article by Dr. Piper at desiringgod.org on the necessity of perseverance and just see that this is confusing. And this is from a man who's a genius.
Yeah, he's
this
very
is a man
guy.
Who's very articulate.
Very talented.
And so don't think we're putting him down. What we're saying is his theology has led him astray.
I tell you what, I want to give away 10 copies of Bob's book, Confident in Christ, physical copies, to our radio listeners. Why don't you email us at radio@faithalone.org, tell us which station you listen to, and we will send you a free paperback copy of Bob's book, Confident in Christ, to the first 10 people who contact us from our radio stations. So thank you for listening. See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've done it. We've wrapped up another week, and I'm so glad it's Friday. Hopefully you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.